Everyone is watching it now. President Trump says he loves it. And more than 30 million Americans tune into Newsmax TV with great shows and analysts like Dick Morris, Rudy Giuliani, Michelle Malkin, Diamond and Silk, Mike Huckabee, Alan Dershowitz, and a lot more. Every night you can watch Newsmax's number one show, Greg Kelly Reports. Greg Kelly and Newsmax are unafraid to tell the truth about the election, how big tech is censoring you, and Joe Biden's dangerous plans. You need to watch Newsmax TV. Get Newsmax on all major cable systems or check your guide. If you don't get Newsmax, call your cable operator. Tell them you want Newsmax. And remember, Newsmax is free on Roku, YouTube, Apple TV, Zumo, TiVo Plus, Pluto, Chromecast, and most smart TVs like Samsung and LG. And don't forget to download the free Newsmax TV app. All other cable news channels ask you to pay, but Newsmax's app is free. So start watching anytime, anywhere in the world.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. It's January 20th, 2021, and it's a very exciting day in the U.S., our nation's capital. We're ushering in a new president and vice president, so it's very exciting. So maybe not everybody's listening live today because they've got other things that they're watching, but we're on Facebook Live if you want to watch us at Happy Hunterdon or Happy to Help, and we're on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio website as well. So good morning and welcome. We are talking today to Deborah Land, who is the founder of the Jeremiah Photo Project, and welcome.
Hi, so nice to be here, Nicole.
Can you tell me a little bit about your background and where the idea for the Jeremiah Photo Project came and what it does?
Well, I was a single mother, just moved to Pennsylvania, moving in with my own mother. I had two small boys, 6 and 7 years old. And I took a photograph of them one day on a Mother's Day in the woods. I am a photographer. And they were all dressed up in little shirts and ties. And it was a very precious photograph. It was a difficult time in my life. And I was thinking about my life at that point and how much God was helping me. And I knew that I had to stand on the rock with my faith. And so several years later, I gave this photograph to family members, and my sister-in-law said, you know, the boys are bigger now. They're approaching 20 years old. I'd like to have another photograph the same as that photograph in the woods with shirts and ties. And I took the photograph, and at the same time, I was planning a trip to the Dominican Republic with my church on a missions trip, doing service, building, caring for people. And it just clicked in my mind that, wow, these photographs are so precious to me that other people would benefit to have photographs of their children, of their family, something that they could hand down to future generations. And I knew the people we were going to serve in the DR really had nothing and no way, no access to a professional photographer, much less a beautiful photograph that was framed and presented. So I had the opportunity right away, got open the door on that first trip, and I started taking pictures. I brought a printer with me, I brought mats and sleeves, and I would take a picture, then I would go back to the place we were staying, and I would print, and then we would be able to deliver the photographs probably later that day or the next day to the people. So it was the beginning of the Jeremiah Photo Project.
That's so exciting. So, and how did the people receive these photographs? Were they're probably unexpected, right?
Well, yes. I mean, some people there really live in very, very small houses, very, very small, and they don't have very many belongings. So they really welcome them. And so my project is based on this scripture, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future." So my idea was that if you have something tangible, a family photograph to hand down to the next generation, that shows that you have a future, that there's hope for your children. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things important to me.
Right. It's a visual and it's a touchstone and it's, yeah, no, I love that. And I love photographs. My kids are always annoyed when I want to take pictures of them, but they are just special to chronicle different points in their lives and expressions. And I love photography. Let's go back just a little bit. And how did you first get into photography?
Well, that was the same thing. When my children were very young, I'm an artist by training. I have an MFA. And I was looking for an art form to do when my children could come along with me. And I was living in Northern California in the wine country at that point. So it was perfect. I started taking classes at the local junior college because I really had never done photography. I was more of a painter. So that was really how I started.
Nice. And so then you journeyed to from California to New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And then
Pennsylvania and then New Jersey.
Okay, sorry. Mm-hmm. And then you you got involved with a parish or a church there. Yes. When you moved back. Yeah.
Princeton Alliance Church. And they were great. It's a missionary-based church, so we send missionaries all over the world. So this first trip that I went on was in the Dominican Republic. And the project that we were working on there was building a church in a little tiny village. So I went out with my camera, my big 35mm SLR, and a translator. And we were walking around a little village and on a prayer walk, which means maybe knocking on doors, you know, talking to people, seeing if they had some needs for food or wanted to say a prayer. And I think word spread quickly in the town that there was somebody taking pictures. Mm-hmm. And this little girl, Estefina, she must have been about 7 years old. She ran up to me and said she wanted to have her picture taken, all this through the translator. And then, so we went to her house and she suddenly appeared with this gorgeous pink dress on. And she was barefoot. She was so precious. She was, and there were no parents around. I don't know where the family was, but she had her little brother. So I took them in the backyard where there was a barbed wire fence, but it was still beautiful field. I always try to make the photographs look valuable. Like mm-hmm. I try to show the countryside. I often bring printed fabrics, even fabrics that I've painted and designed. Mm-hmm. So it elevates the photograph to something really special.
I love that. That's wonderful. And can you just give us a little history or information about the landscape and the country and the people of the Dominican Republic? They speak Spanish, correct?
They speak Spanish, yes. So I'm not a Spanish speaker, unfortunately, but I've been lucky enough to have translators. I've taken several trips there. The last trip was just a year ago, and I went with an organization of Hands Full of Hope. And it was a medical missions trip. So I went with all these doctors and dentists. It was just amazing. And they set up a huge clinic. And it was in a little town. People walked for miles and lined up for hours to get into the clinic. So while they were lined up, they gave me a very nice space. And I hung my backdrops and set up. And so people would come in, get their photograph taken. Once again, word spread. And there were more people than I could even handle. And then they would go through the line and see the doctors. And, you know, it takes a couple of hours. So then I would go into a back room. And God willing, there was electricity. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of problems like that because in these remote villages, sometimes it goes out. But I was able to print and frame and mat the photographs. And then on their way out, coming through triage, they could pick up their photographs and take them home right then. So that was a great experience. It was only about 2 hours between taking the photograph and delivering it.
That's amazing. That's quicker than JCPenney. No, I'm kidding. But how did you get connected with this? What's it called? Handfuls of Hope. How did you connect with them and get this trip worked out?
That was my friend Renee, who is a dental assistant, and she goes with them every year. Okay. So I was always inspired by her stories of just working on people's teeth who don't have access to dentists. So through her, I met the pastor who leads it, and I went with them. It was very, really wonderful.
Are they based in New Jersey or where?
They are based in Hillsboro, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Hands Full of Hope. Wonderful. Okay.
And they do, I'll have to have them on the show.
You can get them on the show, yeah.
I know. And are they, do they pick a different country to go to or do they always
no,
go
they
back to this?
They base in, they go there okay. oh, like six times a year. And they have, now they were given a large property with like basketball courts and sports areas. And
nice.
Then it's an old school that they're sort of renovating to have the clinics.
Right.
So they've had a stake in that country for quite a few years.
Nice. Nice. Mm. I know a church by where I live, they have a connection with Honduras.
Oh.
And then another group within the congregation has a connection to Malawi and or Mali. I always get it mixed up. But anyway, yeah, so I think that it's wonderful when, and again, you know, people connecting. You've got your own projects and your things you're working on, but just going to, it's eye-opening, right, to go to a different country and culture
oh
and people. And
it's amazing. So there's another one, Villages in Partnership. They go to Malawi, and okay. I have plans in the future.
Okay.
Things were canceled because of COVID, unfortunately.
Right.
But another place that I've gone to is Thailand.
Oh, nice.
Which is really a very fascinating country. I went with an organization called Remember New, which rescues children from sex trafficking.
Oh, wow.
So they have large orphanage-type homes where children from distant villages that are moan, they can be mostly from the north. So parents will agree to have their children spend time learning Thai because they don't speak Thai, and they will go to school in this orphanage at Remember New.
Right, because in these countries there's so many dialects, right? You've got...
Yes.
Right, and so there's a national language, but where all the business is done and the libraries and the books and everything, but all these unique dialects they don't, you know, that they speak in their villages, they can't function.
And in this case, in Thailand, they're discriminated against because they're from the north,
right.
And they have a different language, but then they yeah. learn Thai. So that was an amazing experience. I went and took all the senior photos.
Oh, wow.
Yes, for about, oh, there are almost 100 boys and girls.
Wow.
And some of them, it was very interesting. They chose to wear their traditional costumes. Some of them chose to wear their soccer uniforms. Soccer is really big.
Right.
And some of them just contemporary dress. So what Remember New does is they'll go into a village and kind of befriend the chief and establish a relationship. And we did visit one of the villages, and over time they will stop the sex trafficking because they build a relationship and they want their children to be educated. So it's an amazing ministry. And Thailand is a beautiful country.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, education is the key, right? I mean, that's why I've devoted my last decade of my life to Room to Read, because education
yes.
is what transcends everything else. And you can't take literacy away once you learn how to speak the native or the language of the country or read both, whatever. That opens up your ability, your opportunities immensely, right? The whole
yeah.
new world opens up to you with that. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break
oh.
and then we'll be back.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterton-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterton, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
I don't know that much about it.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterton Chamber Radio. We're happy to be back in studio after our COVID break, and today we are talking with Deborah Land. She's the founder of the Jeremiah Photo Project, and you can look it up at jeremiahphotoproject.org, and she's also on Facebook, and she's sharing the story of how she's brought joy and a memento and a token touchstone for families in many different countries through creating photographs, but not just taking the photographs, but printing them and matting them and giving them to these people as a sign of hope and just a wonderful memento for them to keep, because a lot of these people live in very dire circumstances, and this is just an incredible project. So can you tell us a little bit more about how it's enriched your life to be able to do this, and maybe some more stories of people that you've touched? We talked about the little girl that you met. Any other just kind of fun stories that when you're in your travels and in dealing with people or certain families that kind of stick out in your mind? Are there a lot of photos on the website?
Yes, I have almost all of the photos, at least from most of the places I've gone. Well, I went to Costa Rica because a friend of mine heard about my project, and she lives there part-time. And her cleaning lady said, you know, she had a church, and that sounded like something that would be really interesting in the church. So this was really early on, before I even became a formal nonprofit, which has only been about a year and 3 months.
Oh.
But I did the project for about 5 years before that,
okay,
sort of on my own. And there was so much interest in it that I did make it into a nonprofit. So I went there to Costa Rica, not really knowing too much what to expect, but I did have my friend's house as a home base, so I had a place to print. So we went to this church, and the friend of hers, the cleaning lady, well, she was working. She couldn't come with us, so we were on our own, but my friend speaks a little Spanish. So the pastor was there, and to our great surprise, it was Palm Sunday. And all of the singers and musicians had beautiful costumes on. They were like doing dancing, and they had flowing robes and banners, and I've never really seen anything like it. And the pastor was so welcoming. It was a very tiny, small church. I took wonderful photographs there. And then after the service, I did portraits of almost everyone who was there. And it was so interesting. People walked for miles to get to church. There were a few girls, young women that came on motorcycles. I took their picture on their motorcycle. It was a really, really interesting experience. Really fun.
I love that. So you've gotten around to different countries and cultures. So we've covered Costa Rica, Thailand, Dominican Republic. I think there was closer to home. You've been to Appalachia. Right?
Oh,
so you want to talk about the Appalachian Service Project?
Yes, that's been in existence for a long, long time, over 50 years, and it's basically run by college students. It's a very amazing organization. So I went with a group of high school students who volunteer in the summer and usually either repair or build a home. So I was able to take photographs of our team's families. And of all, it turns out there were like 10 teams, and then there were maybe 50 families. So I was able to do their portraits, and that was amazing. I love to work domestically, and as a matter of fact, a little pitch is that if you have anybody out there listening has an organization, a church, a food kitchen, that would be wonderful. I'm always looking for more places to take photographs and to do this project.
Right, and I think there's no easier way to convey the feeling and the expression and the joy of doing this work than a photograph, right? I mean, a photograph is worth 1,000 words or more, and so you're able to capture that, and I think that would be an amazing, it's an amazing addition to any trip that anybody's taking for service, right? To document it and have as mementos and gifts as for this occasion, correct?
Yeah, and yes, and that's a good point, because besides when I go into a place, like I will also be able to do, you know, portraits of the administration, for instance, or of the families, the missionary families who are running a mission.
Yeah.
I also do portraits for them. Another place where I go regularly is the Loaves and Fishes Food Kitchen, Food Pantry, in Trenton, New Jersey at St. Mary's Cathedral. And I go there several times a year, maybe for Easter and Christmas. I've gone several times, and I usually have special Christmas backdrops, and I have props and hats, and it's really a lot of fun. And a lot of those families are homeless, and they come in the morning for breakfast, 2 Saturdays a month. During COVID, I haven't been able to take photographs, but I've at least been volunteering there, sort of waiting for things to open up a bit. But that is a wonderful organization. So they come for breakfast, I take their picture, and then by the time they leave after lunch, they have it in hand. And just the look on their faces, they're just so excited to have this thing. And I put the photographs in a very, very strong, clear acrylic sleeve. So they're really hard to damage. They're very strong.
Good.
So they can kind of be knocked around a bit and still be good. They're about 8 by 10 inches.
No, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Like that. Yeah.
I try to work hard to make them high quality. I call them heirloom quality. Yeah. I use really good paper, really good printing inks. So I try to have them be last.
So for all of these materials that you're using, is it all the funding is funneled through your nonprofit, right?
It is. And I do quite a bit of fundraising on Facebook and Constant Contact, and I make videos, so I'm out there, and my website.
Yeah.
Donations are welcome.
I know, right? So, yeah, it's jeremiahphotoproject.org, right? And, I mean, I think I couldn't help but donate. I think it was around the holidays last year when, or maybe before, because, you had this wonderful little, I think it was only a minute long. It was a video with music. I mean, I think the music is, you know, just, it was upbeat, and I was drawn in. So I definitely support what you're doing. Can you kind of walk us through a lot of people say, well, I'm going to start a nonprofit.
Oh.
So, but it's not as easy as it sounds, right? So can you kind of share your journey with us?
That is such a good question. yes, because I was funding everything myself. After about 5 years of doing it, I think 4 years, I thought, well, maybe I can make a nonprofit. And I have a friend that has one in California. She was a little bit of a coach. So I suggest find a mentor, someone that you know who has gone through the process. It is a long process. You do need an attorney. I think you need to go online and do a lot of research. It helps to have a website. You have to have a board of directors, and that would involve 4 people, including yourself, who really support your project. So for me, it was good because I have the pastor of my church, and I have an art friend who is the board of director on lots of organizations. And then I have another friend who works for a nonprofit. It's called Hope Unlimited in Brazil, where I hope to go this year also. They rescue children also from human trafficking.
Yeah.
So I would say to persevere. Try to find a lawyer who will give you some free time.
Right. Well, which is a good advice for anything, right? If you believe in it enough and you want it to make it happen, you persevere and you make it happen, right?
For me, it was that I felt that this gives people hope. I love going to orphanages, and I've really had the privilege of working in 2 or 3 orphanages. I went to one in the Dominican Republic that the medical team, they sponsor, they help out this one particular orphanage. It's an all-women's orphanage. And it was started by a woman who heard about a little girl, a little Down syndrome girl, whose family was not taking care of her. and really didn't want her. And she was so discriminated against. And this wonderful woman started this orphanage with this girl and is thriving to this day. So we went there and they all got dressed up for dinner. And then the director said, okay, so now we're going to take their pictures. But the dinner was waiting for them. Ugh. And they were all lined up. I don't know, there were at least 75 girls. And so I had really boom, boom, boom. I didn't have a lot of time. But there was this one little girl who I was doing all the printing while they were eating. And I had some help because it's a lot of work and time. But this one little girl came and she was kind of walking around. I guess she'd had her dinner. And she was so cute. And she found her picture in a pile. And she took the picture and she put it on her chest. Mm. And I took a picture of her.
Aww.
It's one of my favorite photos. Aww. It's like a portrait within a portrait.
Yeah.
And she'd been in that orphanage. Most of them come as babies in the orphanage. And she was about 6 years old. I just will never forget her. She was so delighted to have a picture of herself. She couldn't believe it.
Right. Oh, my God. Oh, true happiness is in the little things, right? The simple things. Yeah. You know,
and my experience is that people love getting their picture taken.
Of course, right? I mean, why not?
The rare person who doesn't. Right. And then I love photographing mothers and children and fathers and children. And you just have, I usually work under very tight circumstances, so I don't have a lot of time. But I try to arrange them. I try to get a understand their personalities just a little bit, even with the language barriers. And so, you know, try to just communicate a little bit. And get
and just capture their essence, right?
Try to capture their essence, exactly. Try that.
Well, and that's a skill. And that's the thing is, you know, when you go to have your official portraits taken, I always love the candid shots. So if you can marry those two where it's formal in the quality and the photograph and the lighting and all that stuff, but it's got a candid quality where you capture who they are, I think that's a skill. So that's amazing that you can do that. Yeah. And you, faith keeps coming up, right?
Oh,
faith
yeah.
and the name and the scripture so were you raised in a faith-filled household?
I was. And, I sort of changed denomination and now I belong to more of an evangelical denomination, I would say, because it's missions-based. And I think because we have missions in Southeast Asia and the Dominican Republic and Thailand and other countries that it kind of opened my eyes to the world. God opened my eyes to the world. And while there's a need domestically to do this, and I love working at Loaves and Fishes, and, you know, my heart is really with missions and with people, you know, even Americans who are poor have so much more than when you go to other countries and really see, you know, far away how people live with so many little possessions that I think that having, you know, a really nice portrait that they can give their children, it might mean something.
Yeah, and when you're talking about possessions, we don't really need more stuff, but I mean, they don't even have the basics like shoes and food and electricity and or plumbing. Yeah, because I read this one book, I think it's called The Other Wes Moore, about this youth, and he always thought he grew up poor, and he did, and by U.S. standards, he grew up in somewhere in New York or whatever, but then he said when he went to Africa, South Africa, he's like, I was never poor. Like I, it's all about perspective, right? And you're obviously going where your heart calls you to go, right?
Yeah, where there's opportunity, need.
Yeah, and so your faith has been your rock. Are there any other instances or stories you can share where you've turned to faith again and it has come through for you in establishing this and sustaining you?
There have been lots of mishaps.
Well, that's what life is, right? I mean, that's how you grow.
When I got to Thailand and I had been taking pictures and I was going to print them, I put the printer into the wrong socket.
Oh.
And I blew my printer.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So since then, I travel with two printers.
Oh, wow.
I've learned my lesson. And luckily, the printers have gotten smaller. But so there I was with, you know, literally hundreds of pictures to print. Well, some people that worked at this mission, Remember New, were very nice and started taking me around to different villages. We were outside of Chiang Mai. And we finding someone who could print from my card on my camera, because really that's all I had.
Right, right.
So it's a little sophisticated, but we found this hot dog vendor. And he was absolutely wonderful. He had a hot dog business in the front of his little area. And then in the back, he had a little printing company in a little tiny room. But he printed over the course of the next few days all of my photographs, and probably better than I could have printed them in the hotel room. So that was like, and that was really God, because I had no idea.
Right, right.
And well, I had to be driven all over the place, and
right. Really, I mean stuff like that we take for granted. Where you, I mean, yeah, you. I'm sure you've had many mishaps along the way, because it's just, you're in a foreign country, you've got all this equipment, you're trying to, I mean, it's just the nature of the beast, because you're just out in the elements, right, and working with what you have, which is true entrepreneurship and innovation and creativity, and just go with the flow and make it work, right?
Yeah, and I've learned to be better prepared.
Well, I mean, that's how you learn, right?
Oh, no, really. What is it? Best laid plans of man?
Yeah. What is it? It's we make plans and God laughs.
Yes.
Right? Isn't that what it is?
Exactly. So trust, I would say, is a big part of this. And he has continued to open doors, you know, so for fundraising. And
that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I think on your website I saw that you had interaction with landfill workers. So I just got done reading the Behind the Beautiful Forevers about a slum in Mumbai near the airport. It's a really great book by, I can't remember the author's name, but anyway, so that piqued my interest.
I've read that book.
It's good, right?
What's that called?
Behind the Beautiful Forevers.
Behind the Beautiful Forevers.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's a great book.
And, so a few times I've gone to the DR with a mission called 2535, it's a wonderful organization, and they build houses, and they support lots of other ministries, schools, vacation Bible schools. And they support a dump, actually, where there are a lot of workers. And they choose to work in this dump because they actually can make some money by, you know, picking out the metals and the plastics and whatever. And they go there at lunchtime, and we brought food for lunch. And then they have a little music and a little prayer, and people give testimonies. And so I asked the director, well, do you think they would like to get their picture taken? And she said, oh, I don't know, because they're not dressed very well.
They're working in the trash, right?
They're working in the dump. And, you know, people do like to, you know, get dressed up for these photographs if they can. And I always say that, especially if it's a place like Trenton where, you know, if they know beforehand, they really can, you know, put on their Sunday best.
Yeah.
But in this case, that wasn't. But you wouldn't believe everyone wanted their picture taken. There were just a few women who said no. Mm-hmm. Actually, I can think of one woman who said no. So it was really, really an interesting experience. And they were absolutely lovely. I have, there were lots of young men working together who were friends. Four men, I took their picture. And it was just in the lunchtime. I had to work really, really quickly. But that was amazing. Also, on that same trip, we went to an old person's home, and elderly home, and these people were just amazing. And I worked there for a few hours taking the pictures, and I was worried about them not having many visitors. Like, what were they going to do with these photographs, you know? But they wanted them.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking, you know, although my project sort of has this idea of life going on through generations, it's also the here and the now. And some of them said that they were going to give them to their workers in the home.
Aww,
because they were the people that loved them the
that's
most.
Sweet. Oh,
they were very elderly. Most people there were in their 90s, and they'd been there a long time. And
but I bet they were gorgeous, right, with the wrinkles.
Of my favorite photographs.
Yeah.
And we went, once again, we had a lot of youth with us, and they would, you know, paint fingernails and play cards with them. And it was really, there's so much good that we can do in the world and in our own United States. It's amazing.
Well, I mean, and people, for the most part, they're just craving attention, right? So if you're giving them, you know, time and attention and giving them this documentation of that, they could recall a memory. I mean, and there's a reason that we're all starved for attention. Why is the selfie culture just astronomical, right? They just take selfie after selfie after selfie. So it's nice that you can, again, capture, you know, from a little bit from your point of view, but their point of view. And it's just, it's a collaboration and a connection that they can hold on to and remember, and it's tangible.
And I think a lot of children, I seem to have worked with a lot of families, but also a lot of children in orphanages, and, you know, their self-value isn't always so great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know my friend who works in Brazil says that a lot of them don't even know their birthdays.
Yeah.
They just kind of pick a random birthday.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so someone who, you know, our message is, you know, that God loves them. And because God loves them, then he sends people to help them and to give them food and to spend time with them. And everyone wants to be known. I think that's, right. You know, that's what I love about that scripture, is that God knows. He knows us and he cares about us. So that's really the message that I'm trying to get out there. There was a wonderful orphanage in Trinidad. I took the project to Trinidad, which is a little tiny island.
Yeah, Trinidad and Tobago, right?
Yes. And it's a little bit of a dangerous place. It's a very interesting place. But we went to an orphanage one day, and the director said it was a small orphanage, English style, and the children come as babies, and they leave. For some reason, they leave at 17, not 18, okay. But they leave at 17. And so she said, you know, I'm going to take these portraits. I'm going to put them in their files. And when they leave here at age 17, I'm going to give it to them.
Wow.
So they will remember one aspect of what their life was. You know, hopefully they'll go out into the world and, like, they're getting an education and have a career. But I thought that was so touching. It was a wonderful place. It was like a home. It's called Mother's Home,
English thing. I love that. Well, and I know there's some teachers, elementary school teachers, that will have children write their a letter to themselves, and then they'll mail it to them when they're graduating high school. I know several teachers who've done that, and that's just incredible, right? That to you know, 10 years in the future, your future self. And I, you know, for people that journal, it's good to kind of see where, you know, if you enjoy journaling, to see where you are in your life and then go forward. But the photo says it all, right?
Well, I've noticed through the years a lot of, like, movies and books, although video is everything, really.
Yeah.
I, like you said, I've started making videos for PR, but there's something about a photograph that, I don't know, it lasts for a long time, and I don't know, it just comes up in the media a lot. People find a little photograph, and then it's a mystery. A lot of mystery stories have photography in them.
Yeah,
and I started thinking, you know, it's really interesting. I love the pictures that I have of I recently got some of my great-great-grandparents from Portugal through a relative that I met who found me on Facebook. And it's like, it's so amazing that I could put a little picture up on the wall and say to my children, that's your great-great-grandparents. I mean, it makes us feel like we have history.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can, you know, we can make our own history. And it was fun over the break. My son had and they do it in high school. So he's a sophomore. So they always assign this, I think, during history class. And they have to interview somebody for, you know, before it was usually a veteran from World War II or World War I, and now they're on the Vietnam War, you know, because as the kids get older, and he was asking about our history, and fortunately, one of my aunts had put together, I think 20 years ago, put together this giant binder of all the Norwegian history in our family, and they even had, like, coming over on the boat, and Ellis Island and the whole thing, like, just all this stuff. And so I just gave him the binder. I'm like, here you go. So, you know, this is, you know, do this research and then talk to your grandpa about all that. So it's just, you know, it's a lot of work to document. And fortunately, she took it upon herself, and it's nice to have. So now I want to go to Ellis Island and actually see you, you know, so when it opens, well, I think it's open right now for appointments, but so now I have a purpose to go to Ellis Island and check it out. So
that's amazing.
It's very fun.
It is.
Yeah. So, yeah, it sounds like you're very, very open to traveling internationally. Have you always had the bug to get out and explore?
Yes, my husband's British, so we're lucky enough to go to Europe once or twice a year. And that's very nice. And I did this at Christmas, I know, I'm looking over there. At Christmas time once, and I had to have a lot of volunteers. So this is kind of a new I haven't never traveled so much with people just working with me. But when I have a bigger project here, I love to have volunteers. And actually, the last time I just had three photographers, and then I had a few people helping me print, and I sort of oversaw the whole operation. Yes. And that was really different for me. That was the first time that I sort of let go of taking the pictures. And I thought about for the future, like if my project grows, I love to enlist more photographers.
Right. Yeah, I think that's wonderful. I mean, yeah. I mean, you've done it. You've learned every aspect of it. And you can offer advice and offer an opportunity, because people are always looking for volunteer opportunities. And if it's something you already know and love, like photography, but also on the flip side, maybe it's something you want to learn. Like, what better way to learn than to learn under your tutelage, right?
Yes. So. And also translators are always really useful.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, we're going to take another commercial break, and then we'll be back.
Okay.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. We are talking with Deborah Land today. She's the founder of the Jeremiah Photo Project. You can find it at jeremiahphotoproject.org and also on several other social media platforms, and I'm going to let her tell you about those and how you can help if you want to get involved.
Hi. I was so happy when Nicole asked me to come on this show, because I'm at a point in the Jeremiah Photo Project where I would really welcome new venues and help. If you love photography and want to perhaps assist at a shoot, that would be wonderful. If you are interested in printing is one of the biggest problems and biggest things in my project, because while I can take the pictures very rapidly, it takes quite a long time to download them. I actually sometimes print them right from my cell phone. But sometimes they require being put on a computer. So if you have computer skills, that's a wonderful thing. You can find me at jeremiahphotoproject.org. And please, there are just hundreds of photographs. Go through our mission statement. Everything's on that website. Facebook, Jeremiah Photo Project. Instagram, Jeremiah Photo Project. I'm there. You can donate. People have been so generous. $10 goes a long way in this project, because it pays for paper, for matting supplies, travel too, or sometimes with the domestic programs there isn't travel. So everyone who lives in this area, I could also use help, but you might want to think about coming on a trip sometime. And all donations, $5, $10. I appreciate anything.
Yeah, and tell me a little bit about, I'm always interested in being immersed in the culture of where you visited.
Oh,
so
yeah.
What kind of food did you eat that you remember, or where did you stay, or you have any other funny stories related to when you were living in these areas temporarily to do your work?
Well, one trip that I went on in 2017 was with my church to a mission to help missionaries in the Dominican Republic, and I went with my son and husband, and we stayed in, I think you could call it a hotel. It's a big word for what it was, but it had three water beds.
Wow.
In the room. And it wasn't the greatest at all, but we all managed. Other times things have been not so nice, but usually we managed to stay somewhere. I would say Costa Rica was really a very interesting place because everything's on the road there. You would have a bicycle and you would have these little tut-tuts, people going on them, and sometimes you would see a whole family on a little motorbike. It was very, very interesting, and the roads were very rutted. It took a long time to get anywhere, so I would have to really bring my printer with me and try to set up close to where I was shooting.
Yeah. Do you have any travel tips for when you're flying around the world and assimilating to the time zone and the culture and the weather and everything? That, do you have any little tips and tricks that you've learned over the years to help you acclimate?
Well, I always try to learn a little bit of the language before. Just Thailand was especially interesting. We had to take a class because, for instance, in Thailand, if you touch someone on the shoulder in greeting, that would be a really negative thing.
Wow.
Or if your foot was out a certain way while sitting and talking to someone, that would be taken as an offense.
Wow.
So I would say it's very important to learn the cultural differences before traveling to a country. Also, there's Duolingo.
I love Duolingo.
Wonderful.
I do it every day.
Duolingo. And there's another app. I can't think of the name.
There's
of it.
Babbel.
There's Babbel, but there's another one where if you put your camera up to words, like a sign.
Google Translate.
Yeah. Works very well.
Yeah.
It's really helpful.
Okay. Yeah, so there's a lot of tools available, but I think, you can't see them anymore because a smile is the universal. I think universally a smile is well received, but now behind our masks, can't smile. Crinkle the eyes.
I know. It's really hard.
I know.
Yeah, I would think about Asia being really different from, countries that are closer, a little closer to home that speak Spanish.
Well, do you tell people to smile, or is there, I know a long time ago in photographs, right, people were told to be stone-faced, right? And now it's all say cheese and smile, but I don't know, has anybody refused to smile, or do you have any smirks or?
Well, honestly, those pictures a long time ago that are very kind of, a lot of that was because they were using a slower shutter
and they couldn't move, right? Yeah.
You couldn't move.
Right.
Well, one thing I try to fight against are, especially with children, like pat smiles, like sometimes they just smile one
way. Yeah, your fake, your
the
standard smile.
Smile.
Yeah.
So I've also, this is very interesting, I have found that people, they must practice in front of a mirror. Because really, so a lot of people have a certain view, the side of their face, and a certain look that they want to project.
Mm-hmm.
And they've practiced it. I've noticed this. And sometimes I'll say, well, let's try to do a different view, or do you want to smile? Some people absolutely don't want to smile and they really want that serious look. I try to go with it.
Yeah.
And it is a more interesting portrait, strangely enough, without a smile. Although smiles are great.
No, I know. Well, and then a lot of times two people can express so much with just their eyes, right?
Yes.
So if you can capture some kind of mood or, I the eyes are the windows to the soul, right? So
exactly.
If you can capture that, I'm sure that's
beautifully put. Yeah. Yes, they are. And I will often leave it up to people. Like if they're looking particularly glum, I will say, well, should we try one with a smile?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people just want to project into the camera what they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And, they might not be feeling joy. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting. I've only had one experience, I think, where I handed the picture over, and these were the teenage girls in Thailand. And I think one of them really didn't like her picture. It's really the only time it happened to me. But it's a very big deal. I mean, you want... It's very important that they like their... It's all for naught if they get their portrait and they don't want to look at it. So right. I feel like it's my duty as a photographer to have them look good.
Yeah. Yeah. And most people are grateful, I'm sure, right?
I mean, I think her friends said, she got over it.
I mean, it's hard too. Well, and then sometimes you just don't know, because I've had pictures of my kids taken over the years, and I'm like, well, it's a great picture, but it doesn't look like her. It does, just different ones if you know the person, sometimes it's like, oh, that one just doesn't really look, it doesn't look like her, but then they're like, oh, it's fine. But I mean, you don't have that luxury when you're churning and burning and getting these photos out, but it sounds like you're getting it right 99.9% of the time. So that's good.
Yeah. It's very fast. I mean, I think I've improved as a photographer because having to work so fast. It's a little different when you have, you have 10 or 15 minutes to talk to
somebody. No, yeah. Well, I mean, and you're hitting a lot of people, which is great. You're getting out there and you're touching people and giving them a tremendous gift and memento.
I hope so.
Yeah, no, I think that's wonderful. So again, tell everybody, have you had any volunteers recently in Trenton that you've worked with, or people? You said this the one
well,
little
in
team
right okay. now in Trenton. I'm not able to
right
do. I mean, I'm taking photographs, but not in that same way. But I do have volunteers definitely when in the Trenton. I have a photographer that helps me, mm-hmm. and he's just great, and he volunteers his time. But I'm open. I really need more people. So if you like photography, yeah, and my. My email is on, it's just jeremiahphotoproject@gmail.com, but it's, you can get it through the website.
Well, I think people right now are looking, right. I think people are we see the end in sight, hopefully, right. As people get vaccinated and people heal, and they're looking for, we can't travel so much yet, but I think people are starting to make plans. They feel comfortable about making plans, like, what am I going to do when I can roam free again? So this would be a good time to kind of get in touch with you and investigate, what are you doing? Well, how can
exactly.
I help you? Can I learn the ropes? Can I learn more about the organization? Can I help out? Because there's a lot of things you can do in prep, right? And just to get to know one another and, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That's a really good point. And I read something recently that service vacations, I think they're called.
Oh, yes, or voluntourism.
Voluntourism, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm sorry, I was just checking the time. But there's tons of different ways to get involved, but I think people are starting to think about, where can I go, what can I do? Some people aren't going to be comfortable, of course, but I think if you want to do your due diligence and kind of peruse the website and get to know you a little bit. And have your sons helped you with some of the stuff you've done?
They definitely have. And as photographers, and one of my sons speaks Spanish. So
aww.
One of the things that happens on a photo shoot is a signed release.
Okay.
So I'll have it translated into the country where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And, hopefully people will sign it just to allow the photographs to be on the website.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
There's nothing commercial about what I do.
Right.
We don't sell anything, but this way that I, can peacefully put them on the website. And he would help with that because he could talk to people. It was very helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and what about, do you take photos for fun? Or?
Yes, also I am a fine art photographer. So, when I do travel, I'm able to do, I would call them ambient photography. And it's really helpful. I mean, to just look at a portrait of someone in a foreign country, you don't get too much of a sense. So I always like to include in my newsletters and in my videos, other aspects, cultural aspects of the country.
Well, I think
love that.
Right, because, the people are the culture and, vice versa. Have you thought about doing like a coffee table book or something to expand your work and...
Oh, that would be wonderful.
That'd be cool, right?
Are there any companies out there?
Publishers listening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's one woman I met. She was, I think she started on Instagram, but she does the Jersey Collective on Instagram. And because she'd been doing it and she has guest photographers and that take over the account. And she was contacted by a publisher to do a book, a coffee table book, a photo book. So it does happen.
Yeah, that's so wonderful.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Because photographs are amazing. And I'm just still watching the time here. So, and have your sons come willingly? I always talk about in my family, service was just kind of a given.
Oh,
and my kids have given me some pushback, but I think one day they'll appreciate it. But has it brought your family together? And
they both volunteer regularly. And I think when they were young, I used to do we called it the coffee ministry at my church. And they would come with me, and I would make the coffee and put it out for people. And I would say there's a history of service in our family.
Yeah, I think it's a good one.
It's a wonderful
right?
thing. I think it's good to involve children in it and retired. I mean, I am retired from teaching personally. I taught art for years, and so I was able to actually make this into a nonprofit. I did it right as I retired because I had more time.
Right. Well, no, and I'm an advocate for volunteerism at any age. So when I started volunteering with Room to Read, my youngest was less than two. And so I was very busy with a house full of kids and all that entails and not sleeping very well. But I wanted something of my own to just be able to follow and get involved with and learn and grow. And I could do it on my own time. So I didn't have to be, some people want to physically be in the space and helping and doing and touching, which is absolutely wonderful, but more limited now. But I was more, I wanted to learn about the organization and study it and do what I could online or writing articles or whatever, but I could do that on my own time. So it's whether you're starting out in your career and you want to learn more about something to add to your work-life balance, or if you have young kids but you just need space. I'm in this writing class, and one of the women on the writing on the group said, my kids are little, but this is me time. This is my time to learn something and grow. And then again, as you go through your life, if you're in retirement mode and now you're looking for your 2.0 or your something else to enrich the golden years of your life. So,
it's just so true at any age. It's valuable just giving back. We're so blessed as Americans. Mm-hmm. The other thing is we're really ambassadors when we go to other countries. I was in a little tiny town in the Dominican Republic, and there was really nowhere to use a bathroom. You had to kind of go into this general store way in the back. It was very involved, and there was a woman cooking in a big pot, and I don't speak Spanish. I wasn't with the translator, but somehow I communicated to her at my camera, and I ended up doing a beautiful portrait of her. And then she took me inside the store, which her husband owned with the brother, and I was able to do a really nice family portrait of the three of them. And that was just spontaneous. And I find that traveling around, you might go to a restaurant, and I might be able to do a portrait of workers in a restaurant. So it also has a very planned part of it, but also spontaneous, because we do have something to give people.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I love the candid, spontaneous pictures and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's all wonderful. Well, our time has come to an end, but I'm so grateful that you shared your story and your nonprofit and your work, and hopefully others will be inspired to. I want to go back and look up those pictures. I want to find the one of the girl and the cook, and because I could probably lose a whole day looking at those pictures. So thank you for the work you do, and thank you for inspiring others. And everyone, check out Jeremiah Photo Project. And thank you, Deborah.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908 284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The inauguration of Joe Biden is today in the nation's capital. Wednesday night, the president-elect addressed the nation.
To heal, we must remember. It's hard sometimes to remember, but that's how we heal. It's important to do that as a nation.
Breaking away from a centuries-old tradition, President Trump will not attend the ceremonies today. Hours after he's sworn into office on Inauguration Day, President-elect Joe Biden plans to sign 17 executive actions in the Oval Office, plans to address the COVID-19 crisis, the economy, racial justice.